and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Now here's where we're going to get into the Bible study from last week. Verse number 5. One man esteemeth one day above another, like today, or last Sunday, okay? Now, if you were here for the last week or so, today, Ishtar is a pagan holiday. There's nothing wrong with remembering the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to do that every single day, not one day a year. We ought not to do that one day a week. You ought to do it 24 hours a day. Ishtar is a pagan holiday. You know what? If you don't believe me, go on Wikipedia, WikiLeaks or whatever it is, Wikipedia, and just search and look. You'll go online and find out. Christmas is a pagan holiday. Ishtar is a pagan holiday. But we have too many people that are more, they're worshiping a Christmas tree from Jeremiah 17, or Jeremiah 10, rather, than they are the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, I would hope that you're worshiping Jesus, not a thing, not Easter bunnies or Easter eggs. Does anybody ask where Easter eggs come from, Easter bunnies? I mean, that just tells you how far removed from reality people really are. But they're worshiping, and I'm telling you, the word is worshiping. They're Christmas trees, Easter bunnies, Easter eggs, Easter clothing, Easter everything, Easter outfits, instead of worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so it says here, one man esteemeth one day above another. Like some people think that this is a high holy day. They think this is a very important day. Another esteemeth every day alike. That's like me. We had Good Friday spaghetti meatball dinner this Friday because Jesus didn't die on Friday. If you knew your Bible, you'd read that. In Matthew 12, 40, we covered that last week pretty good. Jesus did not die on Friday, but people who don't know their Bibles believe that. People who are religious believe that, but people who don't read their Bibles don't know. So it says, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Like me, I think every day is the same. Doesn't matter to me. Do you know what Sunday is? The worship of the sun. I mean, did you ever look at the word? Sunday is the worship of the sun. The reason you and I have church on Sundays is because the Protestants who came to America mixed with Baptists, you know, but because we are so Protestantized, the Protestants got it from the Catholics that worship the sun on Sunday on Bail Day. And so it's just become tradition, or it's become easier to have church on Sunday, because when we had blue laws 100, 200 years ago, everything was closed on Sunday. You weren't allowed to buy or sell anything on Sunday. So it just made it easier for everybody to have church on Sunday. But the book of Acts, they had church Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You can't make it to church once a month or once every two or three weeks. But today is a high holy day, you know, okay? This is a Bible study we're having, okay? Some people think one day is more important. Some people think every day is alike. So he says, verse number five, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Amen. You ought to know what God says from the Word of God. I'm not going to be persuaded by the Pope. The Pope is the Antichrist, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to be persuaded by the Romish Church, okay? Now, I don't get upset when somebody says Happy Easter. They just don't know. They don't understand. And I say thank you, you know, God bless you. You know, what are you going to do? I'm not going to have an argument with people, but I am preaching. It's teaching time this morning, and I'm trying to knock some sense into you. Easter is a pagan holiday, okay? Look it up. Ishtar is a pagan holiday. We're more concerned about Easter and Christmas instead of you, whether you're born again or not. Have you asked Jesus to save your soul? Amen. I mean, that's the most important thing in your life. I grew up for 21 years lighting my candles, going to church, doing what the priest told me to do, bowing in front of that Christmas tree with all the Christmas presents just for me, you know. I couldn't wait for that one day I could open up the presents for me. I couldn't care less what anybody else got because I was my own God. Until I got saved, 21 years old, on my way to hell, a lady showed me from the Bible that I need to be born again, amen? And I got saved. Look, I'm not upset at you if you got a Christmas tree or Easter bunnies. I'm not, you know, Easter bunnies are delicious. I think they good, make good stew and soup, amen? I mean, I've had rabbits, and I've eaten them, and I shoot them, and I eat them. But I've never seen a rabbit lay eggs. I've never seen a rabbit lay eggs. All right, look what it says here. It says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Verse number 6. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. So if you think this is a special day, I'm not upset at you. But don't get upset at me if I tell you, it's no different to me. This Sunday is no different than last Sunday. And last Sunday was no different than the Sunday before that. And this Sunday is no different than next Sunday, if God lets us live. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind, the Bible says, okay? For verse number 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. That's apostrophe. Do you have a King James Bible? That's apostrophe S there. That's possessive. You are God's if you're saved. If you've asked Jesus Christ for salvation, you belong to God. That's what it says. Now, on the heels of that, take your Bible, please turn to Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. Aren't you glad you're saved? Revelation chapter number 1. Verse number 10. The Apostle John is speaking here. In Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 10, he says, Revelation is the last book in the Bible. It's very easy. You just look at the last book, amen? Then go to chapter 1. Chapter 1 is right before chapter 2. Verse number 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Is that what it says? And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. Now, in verse number 10, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. This is the only place in the entire Bible that the word Lord's day is ever mentioned that way. Now, for those of us who've gone past third, fourth, or fifth grade in a government school, as we just read in Romans chapter 14, the Lord, apostrophe S, is possessive. Right? So this day, if you look at the Bible, is the day of the Lord. Everywhere else it's mentioned in the Bible. The Lord's day is mentioned one time in Revelation 1 this way. But in Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah, all through the Old Testament, it's mentioned as the day of the Lord. But Sunday is not the Lord's day, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to Catholics and Protestants too much because people don't read their Bibles. The Lord's day is possessive, third grade English, maybe second grade. I don't know when you learn contractions, possessive, apostrophe S. The Lord's day is possessive, meaning the day of the Lord. That's the day that God's going to come back and judge this earth. And God's wrath is going to be poured on this earth. That's the day of the Lord. And so when Jesus revealed to John here, the day of the Lord, the Lord's day, you know what the book of Revelation is? It's the revealing of God's wrath on this earth for rebelling and rejecting Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's not Sunday. John wasn't up in a monastery somewhere on a Sunday getting this from God. No, he was in the Lord's day, what do you call it, transported? I don't know how you call it. You folks that watch science fiction stuff, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But in reality, he was taken up, the Bible says, and John was able to see all of the tribulation into the millennium, into eternity, and God let him see the Lord's day and what followed after that. It wasn't a Sunday. There's nowhere in the Bible that says the Lord's day is Sunday. But pastors say that, ministers say that, religious people say that. Churches teach that because they want you to think that, you know, Sunday is a high day. Well, it is in a Catholic church. It ought not to be in a Baptist church. That's why if we have a meeting on Monday night, it's just as important as Sunday night. Did you hear what I just said? If we have a church meeting on Tuesday night, it's just as important as Sunday. If we have church on Wednesday, it's just as important as Sunday. But because people are ignorant of the scriptures and they don't love God and the Word of God, you know, they think, oh, I got to make the church on Sunday, especially today. Okay. Well, it's good that you made it. I'm glad that people are here. I'm glad that people were here last week and people were here 2 weeks ago. But every day is the same in my eyes from the scriptures. And Sunday is not the Lord's day. Take your Bible, please turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I mean, do you read your Bible at all? The only reason you would ever believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is because the story comes from the Bible. You can't just subtract the rest of the Bible away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you just can't believe the part of the Bible that believes, that says that Jesus died and rose again to the exclusion of the rest of the scriptures. It doesn't work that way. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. If you have a Bible, you ought to read this. Verse number 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the what? Let's read that slowly again for people who only went to third or fourth grade in a government school, okay? Watch this, verse number 2. A bishop then must be blameless, the what? Husband of one wife. Now, do you know of any religious institution that teaches a bishop should not be married? Well, God says a bishop must be. This is part of the qualifications for a bishop. Must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality. This is what God says. And he goes even further in verse number 4. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children, it's more than one, in subjection with all gravity. Now, do you know any religious institution that teaches a bishop should not be married? God says one of the requirements of a bishop is to be married to one wife, have children. That's plural. Of course, I was reading that. This has got to go back now, 28, almost 30 years. I was working the Bronx in the courthouse. And the clerk was asking me, I had my New Testament out, I was reading it. And he said, John, what are you reading? And I wasn't in 1 Timothy, but real quick, I switched over to 1 Timothy chapter number 3 here. I said, well, I'm just reading here, it says that the bishop has to be a husband of one wife. He said, that's not in the Bible. Yeah, it is. He said, no, it's not. I turned my New Testament around, I showed it to him. He says, man, I can't believe that's in the Bible. You know what's the sad thing? That religious people are ignorant of the Word of God. So you get mad, you get angry and upset at Jehovah's Witnesses for the wrong reason. Instead of you getting angry at Jehovah's Witnesses because they don't believe that Jesus is God, instead of you getting angry at them because they don't believe there's fire in hell, instead of you getting angry at them because they never teach you need to be born again, you get mad at them and you say, well, they don't believe in Christmas trees or Easter. Well, they're right about those two things. Now, they're dead wrong on salvation, they're dead wrong on Jesus, but why get upset at somebody who's right on one point? That's because we're ignorant of the Word of God. Do you believe God? Do you believe the Word of God? I'm not asking you to believe this church. I'm not asking you to believe me. I'm asking you to believe what God says right here in Scripture. All right, look at chapter number 4 since we're nearby. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, and watch this, doctrines of what? That's strong language for God to say, to use doctrines of devils. So he said in the latter times, some people are going to depart from the faith, and they're going to heed and listen to doctrines of devils. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Verse number 3, forbidding to what? Marry. Do you know any religious institution that teaches women ought to be single? In a religious coven? In a religious order? Do you know any religious institution that teaches young men, which is against nature, not to be married? Just asking your question. God says it's a doctrine of the devil. That's what God said. Speaking, verse number 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. It's Lent. Why don't you give up Lent for Lent? Lent is never mentioned in the Bible. Purgatory is never mentioned in the Bible. The word Pope is never mentioned in the Bible. But we believe these things because we don't know the Bible. We don't read the Bible. Forbidding to, these are doctrines of devils. Now, I'm not saying everybody ought to be married. I'm not saying that. But I am saying any institution that teaches for certain people not to get married, that's a doctrine of the devil. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, vegetarianism. You know, vegetarian is an old Indian word meaning lousy hunter. You know. But now it's worshiping animals is what they're doing. Look, the reason they're tree huggers is because they're worshiping trees. They're worshiping these stupid animals. So you get mad at me all you want. Pete, you sleep with your dog and you sleep with your cat instead of believing the Lord Jesus Christ. You're closer to bestiality, you know, than you think you are. You're letting your dog sleep in the same bed with you. Now, I've had dogs or I've had cats. I'm not against dogs and cats. I'm not against animals. But when we get in a society that we are worshiping these things, and it is a crime for you to hit a dog and not report it now. It's a crime for you to hit a cat and not report it. You can go to jail and be fined for breaking an eagle's egg. But America kills over 800,000 babies a year in the womb. And we're okay for that. Well, it's a choice, Pastor. Did you ask the unborn child if he had a choice? If she had a choice? No, the choice is you want to cover up a sin. And so what we do wickedly, we kill innocent babies. That's how warped our society is. We're more concerned about trees and owls, spotted owls and the environment. And I'm for clean air and clean water. I really am. But if you think that takes precedence over the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a problem with your soul and your spirit between you and God, ladies and gentlemen. If you're going to get up and down, I want you to sit in the back and don't come up front here. If you're going to get up and down in the middle of the service, I don't want you getting up and down and distracting everybody. Okay. Okay. I know. Verse number 3. Maybe the last. Verse number 3. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. I mean, that's what God says. As long as you pray and thank God for it, you can eat it. You know, my daughter and her husband are missionaries in old Burma, Myanmar. I got news for you, newsflash, they eat dogs over there. Pastor, that's so disgusting. Well, they eat dogs in China. They eat dogs in Thailand. They eat dogs in the Philippines. And I'm not saying you ought to eat dogs because I've eaten. It's not good meat. I'm just telling you, it's disgusting. But if you're hungry and that's all you got, why, and according to Romans chapter number 14, why are you going to get upset with somebody eating it? You want to control what somebody else eats or doesn't eat? Those are control freaks. Control freaks don't want me to preach the truth. Well, I don't like what he's saying. Well, I don't like what you're thinking. I don't like the way he said it. I don't like the way you're living. All right. We can be respectable to each other. We can be friendly to each other. We can be kind to each other. But it's preaching time in church. Aren't you glad you came this morning? Verse number 5, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Matthew chapter number 8, please. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter number 8. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad that woman had enough courage and compassion to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with me when I was a lost sinner on my way to hell. Matthew chapter number 8. That's why we ought to be Bible believers, amen. The word Christian has been bastardized so much, you think everybody's a Christian. Matthew chapter number 8. Verse number 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his... That's got to be wrong. It's got to be a mistranslation there. It says he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. Now, Jesus came into Peter's house and saw... Is that Peter's wife? I thought the first pope was Peter. And if a pope can't be married and a bishop can't be married, why in the world does Peter have a wife here? It's because you don't read your Bible and you get mad when the preacher tries to tell you what the Bible says. Peter had a wife? Shock of all shocks, huh? If you were here a couple weeks ago, Jesus had six other siblings. Four brothers and two sisters. At least two sisters. Maybe there were more. The sisters weren't named. They just said sisters, but the other four brethren were all named. He wasn't the only one born of Mary. Mary wasn't sinless. She was a sinner like everybody else, man. Amen. God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're not supposed to worship Mary. She's a sinner saved by grace. But Jesus is the only one that's sinless because he's God Almighty in the flesh. Well, it says here Peter had a wife. Shock of all shock, man. How about Matthew 23, please? Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23. Willie, it's good to see you this morning, brother. David, it's good to see you too, sir. Matthew 23, verse number 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Now, he's going to talk about the Pharisees now. You go home and read after church is over, Matthew 23. I don't think any Baptist preacher has ever preached a more scathing sermon than Jesus did in Matthew 23. He called them hypocrites, liars, vipers, or serpents, whatever he called them. He just went on and on. Skinned them alive. Not in a church building. Outside in the middle of the Pharisee crowd. And here's what he says now in verse number 9. And call no man your father upon the earth. That's what Jesus said. Well, see, are you saying I can't call my dad my father? No, because Jesus is saying, he's talking about the Pharisees here. Religious leaders who want to call themselves father so-and-so, who have no children that we know about. They wear a dress or a skirt, a robe, not married, don't have children, but they want to be called father. And Jesus says in Matthew 23, verse number 9, call no man your father upon the earth. When he's referencing here the Pharisees. But people blindly call, oh, Father John and Father Dominic. No children, but you want to call them father because they're religious, pharisaical, hypocritical leaders. Then you get mad at the preacher for showing you what the Bible says. Do you understand why Baptists were burned at the stake when the Roman church was in charge during the Dark Ages? Huh? You're more upset that the cathedral Notre Dame is burning down. I thank God it's burning, man. I really am. You know how many Baptists they burned in France over there? Because they were preaching what we were preaching here this morning. They hate the truth. That's why the Pope passed a law that no one's allowed to have a Bible and read the Bible. You can only get it from the priests and the bishops. God wants everybody to read the Bible because the truth will make you free. People are shackled by tradition and shackled by idolatry and shackled by religion, shackled by their worshiping of idols and statues. People are in darkness. Luke chapter number 1, please. I say, you know, before we go there, since we're nearby, turn to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. Verse number 7. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you love Jesus? He loves you. You can smile, you know. It's not going to hurt that bad. It's better for you if you smile. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 7. But when ye pray, Jesus is speaking. Forget what John Kalita says. Forget what the preacher says. Read what Jesus said. When ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. You know, we've gone through this series about repenting. There's a little break in that series today. But the problem is your thinking is wrong, because Jesus said they think, the heathen think, if I say 10 Hail Marys, man, God will hear me. If I could just say 5 Our Fathers, God will hear me. Did you read what Jesus said? He said, when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. You might as well get a rabbit's foot on Easter and start rubbing that thing, man. You might as well get your cross out and start rubbing that thing for good luck, man. You know what? Make sure nothing happens to that plastic Jesus on your dashboard, man. Because, you know, that's protecting you. The plastic Jesus is going to protect the whole car and everybody in there, you know. That's how stupid Americans are. We got a plastic Jesus. We got rabbit's foot. We got crosses. But no Bible knowledge. And my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, the Bible says. Do you believe God? Do you believe the Word of God? You need the power of God to live a resurrected life, to live a victorious life. If you don't have the Word of God, you don't have the power of God. I don't want to be religious. I want to be a Christian. I don't want to be religious, a Pharisee. I want to be right with God. All right, Luke chapter number 1. The Gospel of Luke chapter number 1. And let's see, verse number 38. And Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Watch what she said. Be it unto me according to thy word. So Mary, who bore the Lord Jesus Christ, believed the word of God more than the people who worship her as sinless, as a God. She said, be it unto me. Look what it says. Be it unto me according to thy. Can you say that? Now look, Mary was one of the godliest women that ever lived, obviously. But she wasn't sinless, just like the heathen pharisaical religions teach. You don't worship Mary. You worship God. You worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God for Mary. But she said, be it unto me according to thy word. Because God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God in Romans chapter number 3. That's according to his word. She admitted that she was a sinner. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter number 2. In verse number 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her, this is Mary's purification, according to the law of Moses, and that's written in Leviticus chapter 12, that says that she sinned. And she had to bring a sin offering. The Bible says, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, that's in Leviticus chapter number 12, verses 1 through 8, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Well, Mary brought her sin offering, because she was a sinner, because she said, be it unto me according to thy word. You're not supposed to worship Mary. You're supposed to worship Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Well, you know, you may be right about these verses here, but I don't like the way you're saying it. Well, you never said that when you went to the concert. And some dope head, some dope addict was singing atop of his lungs with electric guitars, and the speakers were booming and breaking your eardrums. You never said it's too loud in there. No, you just don't like the message and the truth being exposed by the Word of God. That's the problem. And until you get that right in your heart, you'll never get right. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Verse number 5. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the Virgin Mary. Oh, it's not what it says? I'm sorry. That's not what it says? Oh, I see. But they use the Virgin Mary and the saints to pray to as a mediator between them and God. That's hellish. That's devilish. God very clearly says there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The only way to get to the Father is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not Muhammad, cursed be his name. He's still in the grave. Not Buddha, he's rotting in the grave. And all the other fake false religious leaders, Joseph Smith and the founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Eastern religions, they're dying, they're dead, and their corpses are rotting in the grave. Only one man rose again from the dead, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God Almighty in the flesh. And he's your only hope. He's the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Job chapter number 5, please. Job 5, Old Testament. Right in the middle of the Bible is the book of Psalms, and right before Psalms is Job. This the adult Bible study in the independent, fundamental, separated, hellfire and damnation, Baptist Church. Did I say that kindly? Job chapter 5, verse number 1. Call now, if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints wilt thou turn? Oh, I'm going to pray to St. Andrew, and I'm going to pray to St. Anthony. I'm going to pray to St. Bartholomew. I'm going to pray to St. so-and-so, because they're going to help me find my keys. And I lost this, and I don't know where it's at. I'm going to pray to the saint, because he's the saint of the seas, and he's the saint of the driving, and he's going to, and this saint is going to protect me. It's sad that too many people are so superstitious, caught up in Catholicism, because they missed the adult Bible study. They didn't think it was important. They think breakfast at some restaurant at 10 o'clock in the morning was more important to fill their belly, which is their God, the Bible says, than come to God's house and learn some truth. We're not just spinning our wheels here. We're not just having fun here. We're teaching and preaching the truth of the Word of God. When I found out my priest was lying to me, when I found out my heathen church was lying to me, you know what I did? I obeyed God, and I came out from among them, and I became separate, the Bible says. So I left. Why would I stay someplace where I knew that priest was lying to me for 21 years? Never told me one time to be saved, not one time to be born again. Lighting my candles and kissing those stupid icons, gold and silver, and all those jewels and all the finery of beautiful. Oh, isn't it just beautiful, Pastor? Well, God says here, to which of the saints wilt thou turn? Hey, the saints were nothing but sinners saved by grace, ladies and gentlemen. Old Testament, New Testament, they were sinners saved by the grace of Almighty God, because we're all a bunch of sinners, ladies and gentlemen, needing salvation, needing the Lord Jesus Christ. Job 15. And a saint in the Bible is just somebody who's saved, who's born again, who's trusted the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be their Savior. Plain and simple. Job chapter 15. Job chapter 15. Verse number 15. Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Wow. God doesn't trust me? No, God's a lot wiser than you are. Well, God, you know what God says in the book of Proverbs? You're a fool if you trust your heart. Well, I just trust my heart. I trust my feelings. You know what? Because you're an idiot. Somebody needs to slap you upside the head to wake you up. I just trust my emotions. I'm going to trust my gut instincts. What Bible chapter and verse do you have for that? How about getting a chapter and a Bible verse to live your life and make the right kind of decision so you don't mess up the way you've been messing up for the last 5 or 10 or 20 years? Why don't you ask God for mercy to forgive me for being so ignorant of the scriptures and not reading the Bible, not coming to church? Well, I don't like the way he's saying that. Yeah, you're not going to like Jesus when you meet him either. You're not going to like the judgment seat when you get there. You better prepare for it now. Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. You think God's going to trust you? You don't pray on your knees every day. You don't read your Bible every day. You don't come to church when the doors are open. You don't tithe. You don't go soul winning. You don't witness. But God trusts me. Okay. Contrary to what God says. Aren't you glad you came this morning? Isn't this exciting? Think about turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now look, if you got to work today on a Sunday, I don't mind getting double time, all right? But don't cut out on church Sunday night or Wednesday night if you're not working. And don't offer to work on a Sunday just because you want more money. I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to excuse anybody for missing church. I'm just saying when the doors are open, Hebrews 10:25 is very clear. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. That's what God says. Some people are sick. Some people are in a hospital. You know, some of our best members are in jail or in prison. I understand they can't be here this morning, you know. They got a hangover this morning, you know. I mean, you understand, yesterday was a rough day. It was 4:20. Oh, couple people know what I'm talking about. Yeah, buddy. I like the people that don't know what I'm talking about, amen. Those are people you ought to hang around, not the rest of us. 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 33. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Now, we're not going to exegete this like we did Wednesday night, but we're just going to read it a little bit, okay? All right, verse number 33. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Verse number 34 is for all the women pastors and all the women in church. Let your women keep silence in the churches. Is that what your Bible says? Do you understand why women hate God and hate the Bible? Do you understand why most women hate preachers? Because we're too patriarchal, you know. It's all about the men, you know. The men run this. The men rule this. All the men decide this. So you know what? You know what our society and women have done? They've emasculated men today. Most men are spineless wimps today, man. They're afraid to teach and preach the truth. My Bible says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for watch this, it is not permitted unto them to speak. Are you a woman? Any women in here? Don't answer out loud, please. You know, you could have a good time if you love God. You could smile and laugh and enjoy yourself. Enjoy your salvation. Look, don't blame me because God made you a woman. I'm just saying I'm glad I'm a man. That's all. I'm not angry because you're a woman. I'm married to a woman. I had three women, daughters. Pray for me. I'm still recovering. I'm in constant recovery. It is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Now, how does a woman's pastor get around that verse? The same way you do all the other verses. You just disobey it and you reject it. You stick your nose out, your tongue out at God. You say, I don't care. I'm going to do whatever I want. Okay. So America is reaping exactly what she sowed. Churches are reaping exactly what they've sown. People are reaping exactly what they've sown. God says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. That's even amen. I mean, that's, you know what you're saying. How can a woman teacher teach in a church with these verses in the Bible? How can a woman pastor a church, like what's her face on the radio, who's so popular that you listen to? Thank God I can't remember her name. Joyce. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Oh, I just love Joyce. Why don't you ask her about 1 Corinthians chapter 14? Huh? Look, I'm just preaching and teaching the Word of God this morning. Your argument can't be with me. I'm just a messenger. This is why they burned Baptists at the stake during the Dark Ages at Notre Dame in France for the last 1,000 years of the Dark Ages. Because they didn't want to hear this. Aren't you glad you're saved this morning?
Amen.
Huh? The most dangerous people on planet Earth are religious people who do not know the truth, ladies and gentlemen. John chapter number 16, please. John chapter 16. Praise the Lord for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
That we don't have to be kept in chains of darkness. That we can know the truth. Jesus said the truth will make you free. He said, I am the truth. John chapter 16, verse number 1. Jesus speaking, by the way. These things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. So they rounded up Baptists for 1,000 years in Europe. And the priests came and the bishops came and they gave their blessings as the Baptists were being burned at the stake. With the blessings of the Pope and the blessings of the bishop and the blessings of the priests. In fulfillment of the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what's going to happen in America, because that's the reason they want to take away your First and Second Amendment, ladies and gentlemen. They don't want you to speak the truth, and they don't want you to defend the truth. So they say guns are dangerous. Well, I think dope heads driving cars are more dangerous. I think dope heads working machinery are more dangerous. Huh? I just think dope heads in general are more dangerous. I think we got to get our head out of the sewer. Jesus said the time's going to come. They're going to put you out of the synagogue. The time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. You better thank God that this country was founded by people who believed the Bible and loved God.
Amen.
Whether they were Baptist or Protestant or whatever they were, they loved liberty and said, you know what? You worship God any way you want. And they enshrined it in the Constitution. Preacher signed the Declaration of Independence. No Catholic bishops or Catholic priests did. And that's why, continue. Leviticus 26. We'd be almost done. Leviticus 26, I think we're going to close with this verse. And this is, believe me, you want to come look at my notes here? This is probably 1/10 of my Bible study this morning. Leviticus chapter number 26. You believe the Bible? Why would you believe in Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ is mentioned in the Bible. That's the only place we ever find him, in the Bible. He may be recorded in history. Josephus writes about him. Other people write about him. I understand that. But all that you know about the Lord Jesus Christ, his life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the miracles are recorded in the Word of God. Why would you not believe the rest of the Word of God? Because we've been stupefied. Leviticus 26, verse number 1. We'll close with this. Because a high holy hour is coming upon us. Ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. How in the world can a person read that verse with a clear conscience and put Mary in a bathtub and put statues all over? Oh, they're just an aid to worship. Did you ever hear that? Where's that in the Bible? Where's a phrase, an aid to worship, in the Bible that contradicts Leviticus 26:1? You won't find it in the Word of God. But you'll find it amongst religious, hypocritical, pharisaical leaders who want you to get your mind off of the Word of God and put them on candles and put them on statues and put them on icons and put them on everything else instead of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Bible says he ought to have preeminence over everything. Jesus Christ ought to have preeminence over everyone and everything. Amen. I lied. Turn to Exodus 20. Forgive me. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Amen. You've never lied, but you put up with me. Just another 3 minutes here, please, because I'm just a sinner saved by grace. My closing takes about 3 hours. I'm cutting it short. Exodus chapter number 20. This is the Ten Commandments, the first commandment. The first commandment in the Ten Commandments is taken out of the Catholic Bible, their Douay perversion. But it's in the King James Bible. This is why the Pope hates the King James Bible. That's why the Pope wants you to read some other perversion outside the King James Bible. These are the Ten Commandments. This is why lawyers and judges don't want these hung in courtrooms and in courthouses across America. It's too convicting. Verse number 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, verse number 4 is taken out of a Catholic Bible, but this is what it says, verse 4 and 5. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me? Wow. That's strong language for God to say. You bow down to those graven images. You listen to me good. And you put more confidence and worship into a plastic Jesus on your dashboard and your cross that you're hanging around your neck for protection from the evil spirits and all this other superstitious stuff. My Bible says, them that hate me. Why don't you obey what God says and read what God says instead of your superstitious religious thinking that's been brainwashed with by Catholicism and Protestantism? Get your Bible out and read it. Happy Easter. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for the church this morning, for the folks here. Please bless the morning service to follow. Bless those who are still coming. Give them safety as they travel. Bless the singing and the preaching. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.